You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Wednesday to you. We appreciate you being with us. Arkansas basketball loses 78-74 to LSU last night at the Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. And as I came into the studio today, I was looking for like a red light to flash in here because now it's time to hit the panic button. You lose to teams like Florida and Ole Miss and Tennessee, and I don't know that there's a lot to panic about. You lose to LSU, who's shorthanded and missing a couple of double-digit scores. This is a problem now for Arkansas. They're 0-4 in the SEC, and don't know that it gets a lot better Saturday after the way Missouri played last night against Florida, beating Florida on the road in Gainesville. This is a tough league, and Arkansas just there's something missing about this team right now. They haven't been able to put it all together, and you know, you're four games into the conference season, you start to wonder if it's ever going to happen. Anthony Christensen is in Baton Rouge. He was at the game last night, and he joins us now on the phone. Anthony, what was it like sitting in the arena last night?
It's a nice arena. I liked it. But they didn't have the fast start that they had against Florida or Ole Miss. Obviously, the start of that game was pretty gross. But you kind of got the sense, a similar sense to those games, in that Arkansas had a decent lead. I think it was a 12-point lead at one point in the first half, and then it dwindled away again. And you kind of get a similar feeling to those games because they, you know, had sizable leads and just let them slip away. And, you know, whether it be Malik Dia kind of getting hot for Ole Miss, I almost said Belmont because I covered him at Belmont, but or, you know, just not being able to continue your hot offense against Florida and stuff like that. And last night it was kind of Cam Carter and Jordan Sears getting going that kind of changed things. And I think you're right. It is kind of time to start pushing that panic button because, I mean, Torvik's got it at a 25% chance Arkansas can get an at-large bid to the tournament. They're 49 in KenPom now. It's a lot of lows, I guess. I mean, the good thing is it's January. If you're Arkansas, that's the good thing. There's going to be plenty of quad one chances and down the line in league play, but you also have to remember there's, you know, not that much time left in the season for you to build a real tournament resume. And, you know, like you said, obviously Missouri coming off a big win against Florida on the road last night. So Saturday, you're not expecting an easy game. You're not expecting an easy game in any game in the SEC. But yeah, that one with Missouri playing as well as it is, being undefeated at home, coming off a big win against Florida, you know, it's going to be a tough one.
Arkansas, again, 78-74. They didn't shoot bad last night. I mean, you look through this box score, Anthony, and it's hard to pinpoint why Arkansas lost the game. I guess maybe the 26 of 28 free throw performance by LSU is really the thing that stands out. But, you know, Arkansas, they didn't shoot terribly. They shot 39%. They were 45% from three. They were 85% from the free throw line. They didn't get a whole lot of opportunities, only got there 13 times. And again, LSU got there 28. Rebounding, it was pretty even. Arkansas kept LSU off the offensive boards for the most part. You know, everything down this stat sheet says that, you know, it's a competitive game. Just from your – and it was a competitive game. But just from your standpoint, why do you think they lost this?
I mean, it has to be that 20-3 run in the middle of the second half, changer. Right? I mean, that's just kind of a period of the game. And obviously, the whole cliche in basketball is, oh, it's a game of runs. And you're going to hear that at least, you know, once every press conference, it seems. But, you know, it rained true yesterday, and Arkansas couldn't come up with a run to counter LSU's 20-3 run. And when you give up a run that large in a game that tight, it's really more often than not going to be the backbreaker. Jordan Sears got hot. Cam Carter got hot, just kind of like I mentioned earlier. But, those guys get going. LSU has, you know, that firepower it needs to win games. And, yeah, the The real turning point was, I guess, when Trevin Brazile was called for the flagrant foul, and LSU got that 5-point possession that took it from a 9-point run to a 14-point run. And from that point, it was pretty much LSU's game.
Well, and Brazile actually had a really bad stretch there on the floor. He was only on the floor for like a minute, and he comes in, and there's a bad entry pass down to Thiro in the post. LSU, they steal that. They go down, they get some points, and then they come back, and you've got the flagrant. And that stretch right there seemed like it really, it put Arkansas in a bind. Nellie Davis, he gave them some good minutes at the start of the game, 10 points by, I think, the 7-minute mark of the first half, hit a couple of threes, one in transition. And you're thinking, okay, there's Nellie. They found him. And then where did he go? He disappeared for the rest of the game, I think, other than to dribble the ball off his foot after a rebound. It just, they're not getting consistent play out of a lot of their players. And I think that's got to be the frustrating thing for John Calipari right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned John L. Davis. I thought he was really good in that first half. I mean, he was 4 of 6, 10 points in the first half, got some good rebounds, and he's playing physically. There was one point where, he didn't get credited with the rebound, but he got a tip that led to, or got the ball to Jonas Adu for the actual rebound, and then Adu found him inside for an easy lay-in. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you came to expect from John L. Davis, last season before Florida Atlantic, and it just hasn't been there a lot this season for Arkansas. You're not getting, that consistent level of play. The assist numbers are down. I believe they averaged 16 assists in non-conference play, down to 11 now. Maybe that doesn't sound like a huge drop-off, but when you're not moving the ball that well and you're not hitting your shots when you're creating those opportunities, it's a big change. You mentioned the consistency. I mean, you need those guys to be consistent, to be efficient, and they're just not getting that right now.
So you're on the road with this team all year, and you can get a feel, I think, when you're on the road about just what the what's the feeling of the team. You talk to players, you read body language from the coach when they're in the press conference. So I'll ask you that. They're 0-4 in the SEC, and what's the body language tell you about this team?
I don't know if it's low on confidence or, if they're just still, kind of dejected from the losses or what it is, but, it just doesn't seem like it's the most positive. I think that kind of tells you, they're taking these losses hard, which is what you want. You want the guys to care and to want to win the games, obviously. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, I don't want to say there's not a lot of confidence, because sometimes you can see guys be confident. I thought you saw, Boogie Flynn try to take over that game and try to will Arkansas back into it there at the end. So I don't know that they're lacking confidence, but you can tell it's kind of, some of the guys are a little dejected. I mean, they're losing these games, and it's obviously it's a hard time at this point. And, maybe that changes if they get a win Saturday, or, whenever they do end up getting that first SEC win. It just kind of looks like, the guys aren't, those guys aren't enjoying it right now.
Well,
I don't think.
I think the tough thing, Anthony, is that, sometimes you go through these stretches and you're able to look at a point on the schedule and say, if we can just get to this point, then things might level out and get better. The problem with this schedule and this conference this year is you look at it and it's like, well, where is that stretch where the relief is going to come from? I mean, they follow up, they play Missouri. We know what they did against Florida last night. Then Georgia comes in here to Bud Walton Arena. That's a really good Georgia team all of a sudden. OU, that looks like that could be a winnable game at home, but, OU's not in a pushover. And then you get past them and you go through a 3-game stretch of Kentucky, Texas, and Alabama, and two of those games are on the road. It's like where does the relief come from for this team? It's hard when you get into these stretches when you're not playing well, and you have to turn it around against the best of the best. It's kind of like, you know, we've seen this several times with Arkansas football where they're not playing well. And it's like, okay, how are they going to turn that around when they got to play Alabama and then they got to play Georgia and then they got to play Florida and LSU? It's a tough ask.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it kind of harkens back to what we were saying earlier on the show with, I mean, the good news is it's January and you have opportunities, you know, to build a resume. The bad news is you look at the teams on the schedule and they're all very good. Yeah. I know Oklahoma is obviously going through a little bit of a tough stretch, but that's a team that went 13-0 in non-conference play and beat a really good Michigan team like Arkansas did, but also looked really good in the process. Not that Arkansas didn't look good in the process. I meant look good in the 13-0 start for Oklahoma, just to clear up any potential confusion there. But, I mean, you look at it, obviously, you know, maybe that week off between or before the Kentucky game, maybe that'll be a nice little time for those guys to maybe take a break, to clear their heads maybe. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule's a gauntlet. I mean, you're not going to play against a bad team. I mean, you saw South Carolina take Auburn to the buzzer the other night. And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get easier. That's for sure.
I think of two words. I think of hardened and disheartened. Are you going to be hardened by this experience? Is it going to pay off for you? Or are you going to be disheartened, and are you going to let go of the rope? I could see this thing going either way for this basketball team. But last night, that was their first bad loss of the year. I mean, I'm not talking about score or anything. It's just that was the first bad loss for them in terms of the opponent. And that is definitely a game that you feel like they needed to have, not only to build some confidence here in the here now, but also for the tournament. That's the bad loss now, I think, that's on their resume in the NCAA tournament, looking really, really bleak for them at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Anthony, have a safe trip home.
I'll do my best, but I'm not flying it. So.
All right. Sounds good. Anthony Christensen on his way back from Baton Rouge. You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports analysis from Anthony there in Baton Rouge. Recruiting from Richard Davenport. Unique stories on all your favorite teams. We've got a story that I wrote today on our website about Anna Potazil, the Arkansas soccer great, running track for the Razorbacks this year. She's going to be running the 400, the 800. She'll split the difference and run the 600 on Friday at the Arkansas Invitational. You can read about that. Interviewed her and her coach, Chris Johnson, at Whole Hog Sports today. Subscribe now, wholehogsports.com. Also want to tell you, you can subscribe to our podcast, Apple and Spotify. Search Whole Hog Sports. We've got the video version of our podcast on our YouTube page, and we post that each day to our social media channels at Facebook and Twitter. Just search Whole Hog Sports on any of those platforms, and you'll be able to find us. Ethan Westerman will join me in studio next. But first, word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Ethan Westerman's here with me now. Did you sleep okay?
As good as you can whenever you go to bed after midnight.
These late games are they're tough. They are really tough. And there's one. I was OU and Texas play tonight, a 9 o'clock tip off in Norman. You wanna guarantee that you're not gonna have anybody at your game? Have a 9 o'clock tip off on a work night.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they thinking here? I understand it's all TV, but like I don't know a lot of people who are staying up to watch a game that starts at 9 and that's going to end at 11 or 11:15 or, you know, God forbid it goes to overtime. These TV networks have got to make better decisions, I think, with these. They've been pushing the envelope. You know, like we're seeing a lot more 8 o'clock tip-offs. Something's got to happen to rein this thing back in. We talk about atmospheres. There's no atmosphere at a 9 o'clock game because everybody's asleep.
Yeah, I mean.
At least I am.
Definitely they're not thinking about the local beat writers whenever they choose these late tip times, because if they were, they would know how punishing it is. They're thinking about the dollar sign, I'm sure. But, you know, I'd be really curious to see what their average viewership is for their 9 p.m. tips, because there's several of them this conference season. I mean, Arkansas is going to play a 9 p.m. game at Vandy. So it's not just like a one-off that teams are playing that late.
Yeah, that's on a Tuesday night.
So I'd be curious to see like what they average during that slot, because it's – I would think that you lose a lot of people late in the game. You know, I think your diehard fans, of course, will still stay up and watch. But, I mean, it's at the expense of a groggy morning the next day.
Yeah, 8 o'clock's late enough for me. I'm not looking for that 9 o'clock game coming up in Nashville. John Calipari, last night after the game, had this to say about the Razorbacks' fourth consecutive SEC loss.
Third or fourth game, we get up 12, and all of a sudden you turn around, and it's, you know. So we, you know, I thought we were prepared for that moment, but we just – couple turnovers, missed shots, and I'll watch the tape, but they outscrapped us. I mean, you know, we did some half-decent stuff, but not enough.
You know, the whole I've got to coach the team better. At some point, that kind of falls on deaf ears, I feel like, because, you know, I understand. On one hand, the honesty is refreshing. On the other hand, people are going to get tired of that when you're not winning.
Mm-hmm.
The tune, I feel like, needs to change after these games.
Yeah.
I guess winning would help.
For sure. I mean, I think that it is good for a coach to take honesty. Like, he's putting it on himself, but it does at some point, you know, just it's kind of getting a little bit old just to hear the same, like, it's we got to be better, we got to be better. Like, it's true, but, you know, maybe more specifically, what's got to be better other than just not blowing some early leads?
So as you watched the game last night, I mean, as I watched it, we talked about rebounding and free throws, those being two of the most, you know, basic things that maybe you can correct. They weren't the problem last night. They rebounded with LSU. They held LSU off the offensive glass for the most part. Arkansas, I think they had five more offensive boards than LSU did. Free throws, Arkansas shot well. They just didn't shoot a lot of them. And in LSU, I thought that was probably the difference in the game, the fact that LSU got to the line so much more than Arkansas did, and then they barely missed once they got there.
I was going to say, I mean, the game was decided at the free throw line. It's just you look at the box score up and down, and you don't find many differences in many categories other than the block shots that LSU had, which bothered Arkansas all night with just their length and really just – yeah, the athleticism around the rim. But then it was decided at the free throw line. They take 15 more free throws than Arkansas and make 15 more. So that's where it was decided. I mean, they were 26 of 28 from the free throw line. One guy for them was 10 of 10. That is where the game was decided. If you look up and down, teams shot about the same. Arkansas was 39% from the floor. LSU was 40%. Three-pointers, Arkansas made one more than LSU, so that it was all the same other than LSU got to the line more.
You know, when Arkansas was a great basketball program, when Nolan was the coach here, and even at times since then, there was always a point in the game, it felt like, where there was going to be one or two runs that totally changed it. Eric Musselman would quote his father a lot and say that Bill Musselman said there were three runs in a basketball game, and you needed to control two of those. I actually thought Arkansas controlled two of the runs last night. They had a 12-0 run in the first half, gave them a 12-point lead. They had an 11-0 run in the second half that gave them a 7-point lead. But it was that 20-3 run by LSU that really turned this game around. And John Calipari had this to say about the 20-3 run that went from Arkansas leading by 7 to LSU leading by 9.
I mean, some of the shots, some of the blocked shots that, you know, we told him, you better go into his body, because if you don't get to his body, he will block it. And I thought there were a couple critical turnovers. I have to watch the tape. I don't have it right in my mind right now. But, you know, they made some shots. Like, we know 1 in 5, if you give them space, and we did. And he pulled up at the end of a shot clock. You know, we'd worked on that. So they deserve to win the game. And I'm, like I said, I'm just disappointed in myself that I'm not getting through to get these guys where we have to get over the hump. And I may have to drag them to the finish line in some of these games. And if I have to coach that way, I will.
John Calipari after the LSU game. By the way, those videos are courtesy of Tiger Bait on YouTube. It's, and by the way, I also had the numbers wrong. 7 and 9, that doesn't equal a 17-point difference. It was an 8-point Arkansas lead, and it became a 9-point LSU lead. We've seen this in a lot of these games, though. Arkansas is not the team that's controlling that big run that's determining the outcome of the game.
Yeah, and last night that run was just like, you're just kind of waiting for Arkansas to take a good shot or get to the foul line and make them pay there. It just didn't, the bleeding didn't stop. And I will say, a part of that run was one of the, it was a horrible flagrant call on Trevon Brazil, in my opinion. Like, it was just, that was not the same as what the previous moving screen. I mean, that was a terrible call that did change a lot of momentum, in my opinion. But you can't blame a whole 20-3 run on one play like that. But it did play a factor. I mean, whenever you lose by 4.
Well, it turns into a 5-point possession.
Yeah, and it was, that was a, yeah. So there were some things, like, there are plenty of gripes, I think, especially whenever you don't, whenever you take 15 fewer free throws. I hate to be the type that's like, because a lot of times teams earn their free throws and get, I mean, it's just be more aggressive. That's why you didn't shoot as many free throws. It did feel like the disparity was a little bit high, especially considering the amount of, like, just similar plays around the rim. But Arkansas didn't lose a game because of officials. They lost it because of a 20-3 run where they weren't taking good shots and they weren't kind of forcing their will to make the officials have to make a call. But yeah, that flagrant on Trevon Brazil was really bad. I mean, you watch that in real time and it's nothing. And then you slow it down to, they even slowed it down and I was thinking that doesn't look that bad. But I can see where whenever you just slow it down to frame by frame, you can maybe come up with your mind how it was the same thing as, you know, the previous one on LSU, but that was bad. That was a really bad call, and it did impact the game. But, you know, you look up and down the box score, and there's Arkansas. You just can't shoot 39% and expect to win any game.
When Brazil came in, it was 52-49, and LSU was at the free throw line. And then it's a bad pass turnover by him. It was actually on stat broadcast, it was – credited wrong. They said that Boogie Flan threw it was Brazil who threw a lazy pass into the post to Thiro, and that got knocked away. LSU goes down. They get the slam that puts them up for good, and then there's that offensive foul. So it was a bad stretch by him, but I'm with you. The flagrant foul, yeah. It was Matt McMahon talked those officials into going and reviewing that and turning it into a flagrant foul because LSU had one earlier in the game on what was clearly a flagrant foul when the guy throws an elbow into Fland.
Yeah, it was obviously a moving screen by Brazil. Like, nobody's arguing that. But to upgrade that to a flagrant, it just makes it to where what isn't one. I mean, if you watch it in real time, if you watch that play in real time, every moving screen is a flagrant then because –
That was a bad call. It didn't affect the outcome of the game, but it was a big moment in the game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think Arkansas, you know, it was a huge swing of momentum, and it was a 5-point play. So it's hard to say that Arkansas wouldn't have won the game without that call, but you can't say either way, like, what would have happened. But it you can't go on let your opponent go on a 20-3 run and expect to win. But it was a big part of that run.
Are we panicking yet about Arkansas, you think?
If they lose on Saturday, 0-5 is official, I think. Like,
I looked this up. They have not started 0-5 in conference play since Nolan Richardson's first year as head coach. They started 0-5 in the Southwest Conference that year. I mean, we're treading in really uncharted territory.
So are you saying
here.
That Calipari's just going to – he's just following Nolan's footsteps?
I guess he'll win a national championship in 8 years.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, they have not started 0-4 in SEC play since that terrible John Pelfrey season in 08-09.
They beat OU in Texas.
Oh, I was there. I remember it very well.
And then didn't beat anybody else hardly.
No, they've won two more games the rest of the year. It was pretty bad. You don't want to be compared to that team because that was probably Arkansas's worst team they've ever had in Southeastern Conference play.
If some weird parallels if Arkansas continues on that track, considering they played OU in Texas that year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
new era of the SEC with both of those teams in it.
But I was talking to somebody earlier. It's like, I mean, it's not unfathomable to think that they might be 0-6 when OU comes in here to Bud Walton next weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
because Georgia's really good that they got to play in the midweek next week. And Missouri, after the way they played against Florida the other night, you wonder if they can beat that team.
You can't take anything for granted. I mean, at all. I think LSU was about as good. I mean, if you can't beat them, who are you going to beat type of deal? I mean, I guess South Carolina, you can throw them in there, but you're playing them on the road later in the year. Arkansas's got to figure out how they can stack some wins here in just some part of the schedule, because you look at it right now and they're 0-4. They're how many more SEC games? 14?
Yeah, there's still 14.
So they're saying 7-11 this year should get it done. I bet it will, because you're going to have so many quad one wins in the non-conference. But you got to go 500 from here now just to get to 7-11.
Ken Palm has Arkansas finishing the regular season now with a 17-14 record, which would make them 6-12 in the SEC. I think they're on the outside looking in.
Oh yeah, no,
they got to go steal. You know, like the hope I think going into the season was that you hold serve at home and you go maybe steal one on the road, or if you lose one at home, you go pick one off on the road. Now you got to get two or three what would be considered pretty big upsets to get back into the picture.
I think,
and then win the games that you're supposed to win, which we saw last night. That's not happening.
In my opinion, I think Arkansas, I mean, this is like a duh. Of course they benefit from winning some in a row, but I think this next three-game stretch before the Kentucky game, they really need to try and go 3-0. I think that you need to go 3-0 in that stretch and go to Lexington 3-4 with a little bit of momentum. Because if you stack three wins in a row in this league, it feels like a lot more just because of how good these teams are. And, you know, there's not a quote-unquote bad loss. I mean, I guess South Carolina you could maybe say there's just not a terrible loss out there. But they got to start stacking wins at some point. And I look at their schedule in this next three-game stretch. The three-game stretches I see in the year are this Missouri, Georgia, Oklahoma, and then later in the year they got how they closed the season with Missouri, Texas, South Carolina, Vandy. I think that, there's some stretches there that they've got to figure out how to stack some wins if they want to make the tournament. But right now, for sure, outside looking in, you can't start 0-4 and think that you have some NCAA tournament birthright just because your coach is a Hall of Famer.
They're in trouble. They got to do something to get this train turned around, because it's going the wrong direction right now. A few more basketball thoughts before we get out of here, but first a word from our sponsor.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass, serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. You know, I had this thought as it relates to this Arkansas basketball team, and it's basically this. I feel like we looked at this team and, you thought that it could be like a bag of Orville Redenbacher popcorn. You know, you get a kernel of Trevin Brazil, and you get a kernel of Boogie Fland, and you get, you know, some John Calipari, and you throw it in the microwave, and boom, you got this great basketball team. And it didn't always work like that. And, you know, it's a good reminder that, you know, there's a chemistry and a camaraderie to teams, Ethan, that make them good. It doesn't mean that you can't go out and build a team in the transfer portal and they not win a lot of games once they get together. It's just that there's no guarantee that'll happen. And I think that's what you're seeing with this basketball team right now.
I mean, if people don't know it already, the best teams aren't always the most talented. It's what teams are playing well together. And I'm not saying that there's not time for Arkansas to figure it out and start playing well together. I mean, it's just whenever you dig an 0-4 hole in the SEC, you got to figure it out. If you want to make the tournament, you got to figure it out a little bit quicker than maybe you'd like to be playing your best. Because, you know, Arkansas could be playing its best basketball in the final five games of the regular season, playing like a team, playing hard. All this talent is kind of being a symphony together, but now you're in a hole. You got to figure it out earlier if you want to be where you want to get. I think Arkansas could do it, like by the end of the year, be playing really well. But you the name of the game in the SEC this year is winning, and where are you going to get your wins? And Arkansas hasn't found one yet. But you know, you see a team like you know, like even LSU yesterday. I'm not saying LSU's a tournament team, but they're not the more talented team than Arkansas, but they played, in my opinion, just a little bit more like a team.
If the most talented team was always the team that won, the New York Yankees would have 25 World Series titles since the mid-1990s. That's just not how it works. So much of winning and losing is about how those players feel about each other, what the feeling in that locker room is. Not necessarily just with each other, but how they feel about their coaches. And if you've got a locker room that doesn't believe in each other or doesn't trust each other, then you're not going to win games. And I'm not insinuating that's what's going on with Arkansas. I don't know that that's the case, but I'm saying that in this era where you are building teams basically overnight in the off season, I mean, they're being built very quickly, and, you know, it's just kind of – it's like a land grab. Okay, I'm going to go grab this, and now we're going to put it all together and see what we got. That's what it kind of feels like with a lot of teams. And it's interesting to me, you look at the teams that are winning, Tennessee, they got a lot of players that have been in that program for, you know, a little bit of time. Auburn, you know, how long has Jahni Broome been at Auburn? And, you know, and again, I'm not saying that you got to be that way, but, you know, KU, they've got KJ Adams that's been there for a while. They've got DeJuan Harris who's been in there for a little bit. So you can win it both ways. But again, there's just no guarantee that you're going to win because, and I guess where I'm going with this, team building and how you make these players get to know each other in the offseason plays such a huge role. I was thinking what Dave Van Horn told me about what he did before the 2023 baseball season. They won an SEC title in 23, but they had a ton of new players. And he went in the locker room in the summer of 22 before the players arrived on campus, and he just looked at where all the lockers were located, like, you know, whose locker was next to each other. And he put a lot of thought into going around and saying, okay, I'm going to have this guy sit here and I'm going to have this guy sit here. And basically the emphasis, the way he explained it to me later, was that he didn't want to have two returners sitting next to each other where they're just going to yuck it up in the locker room and never get to know the guy next to him. It's kind of like the scene in Remember the Titans when you got all the white players on the bus and all the black players on the bus, and Herman Boone goes on and says, get off the bus. All the offensive players are going to be here. All the defensive players are going to be here. And he made the team get to know each other. Similar thing happened, you know, with baseball in 2023. And that's a team that, you know, they told me we had players that were going on hunting trips together. You know, a guy, his family might have a hunting lease, and they're going to go over to Oklahoma, or they're going to go to Nebraska, and they're going to hunt together. You got guys going golfing together. You got guys going to the movies together. You got guys, the whole team, they couldn't get them out of the locker room during the off season because they're all up there playing ping pong on their days off, having these, you know, epic ping pong tournaments.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And so, you know, that team was able to come together quickly, but there was also a huge emphasis put on team building and camaraderie. And maybe Calipari did that, maybe he didn't. I don't know. It's just there's a real threat to having a team that doesn't play well together because they may not know each other very well, because the way the current era of sports is that you come in for a year and then you're gone and you're out the door. And it's I think what you're seeing happen with this Arkansas basketball team, and we'll see if Calipari can change it down the line here in Fayetteville, but what you're seeing happen is really just kind of a byproduct of what's happening at a larger scale nationally.
Yeah, and I personally don't think for this Arkansas team it's necessarily – like, I think they all get along and they hang out and stuff too. I mean, I've seen photos of them fishing together and stuff. Like, I think they get along, and it's – it really – they just got to find chemistry on the court, in my opinion. That's where it's at with this team, is they've got to – and it all boils down to me so often in their half court. Like, I can't tell you how many times I feel like I've looked over at you at home games or, like, been watching a game on TV and just, like – been like, man, they're taking shots way, like, it's all having to happen way late in the shot clock, and it's a result of that. There's just something in the half court that I'm like, they got to get more chemistry or, like, just get more decisive, something. I mean, in their shot selection, like, Jonas Adu should not be tied for your second most threes taken by a player last night. I mean, mm-hmm. I know one of them was kind of like a late shot clock right before the end of the half, to where maybe you wouldn't have gotten a better look, but whenever you look down and he's 0 of 3, and, he took more threes than Carter Knox, took more than Brazil, and the same amount as DJ Wagner and John L. Davis. I mean, yeah, shot selection and not having those, that's what leads to those droughts that they go through.
Baseball season, maybe mercifully, right around the corner. Dave Van Horn talked about his team today with reporters. You can read about that at our website, wholehogsports.com, a little bit later this afternoon. You can also find the video of that news conference there at our website. And that's a good segue to tell you that Bubba Carpenter and Logan Forsythe are coming to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Bubba's going to be there on January 30th. Logan Forsythe going to be there on February the 6th. Both of those luncheons begin at noon at the Home 2 Suites in Springdale. And you can reserve your seat now for those luncheons. The site may not be active yet, but keep an eye out here very soon. OzarksTix.com. And you can get your tickets to hear Bubba Carpenter and Logan Forsythe, a couple of former big leaguers who live here in Fayetteville at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. OzarksTix.com. January 30th for Bubba Carpenter and February 6th for Logan Forsythe. Well, I wish the basketball season was going differently. It's so much more enjoyable to cover a winning team than a losing team, and I think the expectations were so high for this basketball team. Maybe they were too high. I don't know. For a first-year coach with new players and everything, the season's not over, but the loss, I think, against LSU last night really poured a lot of cold water on whatever enthusiasm was still existing for this team. They lost to three really good teams out of the gate. I mean, Tennessee and Florida, I've said it, they're national championship contenders, and then look at what Ole Miss did last night in Tuscaloosa. I think that puts Ole Miss in the conversation as being one of the best teams in this conference. But you lose to that LSU team that's missing 21, 22 points a game, and that's a big disappointment.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see the analytics that predict, you know, give you your NCAA tournament probability, what it would have been with a win as opposed to a loss. But it feels like the type of game that really moves the needle as far as
it's
your outlook.
It's the type of game that if they do get on a run and they're on the bubble in March, it's like, and you're looking at their resume, you just kind of hide your eyes like, I don't want to look at that game. I remember that one.
Which is crazy because that just speaks to how good the depth of the SEC is, because it's like losing a road game to a top 55 team in the net could be that game for you, and it's just how it is. That's life in the SEC this year. But, yeah, it's not enjoyable covering a losing team ever. I mean, I've had this women's basketball team that I cover. I did not think I'd be sitting here with a conference victory before the men's team, but here we are. I'm kind of, I guess, used to it, you know, just welcome to this. The men's team the past 2 years has been doing what a lot of the women's team has been all right in recent years, but I've covered a fair share of losses.
Anthony will be back in town tomorrow. We'll get some more of his thoughts from Baton Rouge. We'll also talk a little bit of baseball on tomorrow's show, and of course you can read about all of that at wholehogsports.com. We hope we see you then, and we hope we see you tomorrow on our podcast. Have a great day, everyone.